Thank you very much, Eileen.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Oh, thank you very much and a very good afternoon to you. It is Brenda here in for Ray for a day or two. So how is everybody? What is going on? Just tell me all straight away. We are 018-715-925-018-715-925. You can text 51551 or email ray at rte.ie. Now, we have lots on the show today. Professor Fergal Malone, he is the master of the Rotunda Hospital, joins me in studio to debunk sexual health myths. So this is a new programme that's been rolled out across all the schools, and it hopes to open back up those conversations, get students talking. You know the kind of myths I'm talking about, like the HPV vaccine, is it only for girls? Of course it's not, boys can get it. The pill will protect against sexually transmitted infections, and maybe everybody's periods last the same number of days. All these kind of myths, they are going to be debunked. I very much look forward to chatting to Professor Fergal Malone. And also, Fiona Looney joins me in studio to talk about, well, I suppose whatever's on our mind. That'll be Fiona coming up in a little while. But I do consider Fiona a friend of mine, because did you know that it takes 34 hours for an acquaintance to become a pal? Have you got 34 hours to spare? But apparently that's how long it takes for an acquaintance to actually click in and become a friend. Now, I think we've all had friends over the years. Some we've known a few weeks, some we barely see. We're on WhatsApp to multiple times a day. But a study, of course it's a study, of more than 2,000 people has revealed we require 2,040 minutes of commitment to make that stranger a really close friend. 2,040 minutes. Anyway, the analysis revealed that the ultimate formula for a friendship involves 11 interactions. I wonder what kind of interactions they are. But anyway, 11 interactions, each lasting on average 3 hours and 4 minutes. God, that's a lot of commitment. And over a period of 5.5 months. It also revealed that each person supposedly has 5 close shoulder to cry on friends. Well, I think if you do have that, you're very lucky. You're a very lucky person. And that being there for each other during the hard times, ranking as the most important quality in a best friend. And it's really funny because I was chatting to them upstairs and I was saying, for me, it's all about when you meet somebody like Fiona, you kind of hit the ground running. You can pick up where you left off. There isn't that awkwardness. You don't quite make strange. But I had that experience recently over the summer. There's a girl I was great friends with, still am, a girl called Trudy. And we used to hang out all the time when we were younger, like all the nightclubs, the weddings, all that kind of thing. We were really tight, great friends. But like so many people and so many things in life, life sends you in different directions and it becomes harder and harder to keep in touch. For example, you have kids, you move away from each other, then things become so busy and your priorities change and your parents and in-laws and outlaws and everything. And it's just so busy and it was really hard to keep in touch. But anyway, so we hadn't seen each other for years. And in between that, we'd had kids and all of the rest. And didn't we bump into each other down in Kerry on holidays during the summer? And when we saw each other, we were surrounded by a bevy of these children. And we start to hug each other and we were holding each other and they were looking, going, this is a bit weird. That's a bit over the top, a reaction from both of them. And we were explaining, no, we're really old friends. We really care about each other. And we were laughing and everything. And I said, I tell you how much I know your mother and how much I like her. I said, I still remember her mobile phone number, at which I went, and she said, I'll tell you what, I remember your mobile phone number, at which she went, oh, he's having. And everyone was going, oh my God, who remembers mobile phone numbers? And how many can you remember? You know, if you count on your finger, on your hand, how many mobile phone numbers do you know off by heart? But that's how much, you know, we were friends. And that's, I suppose, how old we are. And you didn't just press a button. And what can I say? You know, it was landlines way, way back then. But That's what I want to hear about today. We'd love to hear from you. And hello, Trudy, by the way, if you're on a school run, dropping and collecting kids. I'm talking about you without your permission. Sorry about that. But anyway, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any tried and tested ways of making new friends, or really if you just want to give a shout out to that good friend who was there for you through the good and the bad times. We're here, 018 715 925 51551 for your friend. Now, be still, my beating heart. I'm just going to say his name, Paul Mescal, the man who put GAA shorts on the map, a fine actor as well, but he spawned a fashion trend that we only ever dreamed of happening. He made his very first in-person late night chat show appearance in the US over the weekend. Now, this is quite funny because he was trying to explain Gaelic football to Seth Meyers. Have a listen to how he tried to explain Gaelic football to an American audience.
You were in acting school,
yep,
but you were also playing, I guess this isn't technically rugby. This is Gaelic?
Gaelic football,
Gaelic,
yeah.
Gaelic football.
Yeah.
How would you describe, for those of us who are maybe not up on the latest?
Gaelic football.
Yeah, Gaelic football.
Chaos.
Chaos.
Yeah, pure chaos. It's basically like a mix between rugby and soccer, but is just brutal.
Yeah.
Well, rugby's pretty brutal, but like it's, you represent like your parish or where you come from. It's like non-professional, so it's like very much like very spirited, I would say.
So it's not that there's a different rule, it's just like people are maybe more prone to fight?
Yeah, like it depends on which town you're playing against.
Gotcha. And,
yeah.
Did you play for a good town? Were you guys good at it?
Yeah, I like my town.
I meant good at the sport. Were you a nice place to live?
Yeah, my, yeah. No, I played for Maynooth and Kildare, my county. This is like a geography lesson.
Yep, the greatest county ever. Up the lilies. Come on, Kildare. Spirited, he said. That's one way of describing Gaelic football. If you had to try and explain it to aliens who had landed from outer space, tell us, how would you describe Gaelic football in a few sentences? 51551. And speaking of playing for Maynooth, and as I said, the greatest county ever, Kildare, he went on to reveal how he broke his nose and his jaw when he was starring in his final year show in drama school. He was told not to play any sport because it was very bad for the body. But Paul took no notice and did what he wanted to do, and he played anyway. Of course, we take him back to Kildare any day if he just wants to come back. All he has to do is wear the shorts, walk up and down the side of the pitch. We'd be very happy. But disaster struck, and he managed to cover up, and he was fobbing off his drama people, and he told them he was mugged. Have a listen. Here we go. Here's Paul
again.
Were you
prone to injury, or do the people who play Gaelic football get?
Yeah, I broke my nose and my jaw.
Uh-huh.
I broke my jaw 2 days before starting my final year in drama school. So I was like, I'm going to probably give it a break for the last year. I found out that they don't really go hand in hand. You can't really act with a broken jaw.
Did you, when you showed up to acting school with a broken jaw, were you honest that this happened during Gaelic football?
No, because they say you're not allowed to play any sport because it's like bad for your like body and stuff. And I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. Go in. And I face to face with my like acting teachers, and they're like, what's wrong? And I was like, well, this is so weird. I got mugged at work. Yeah, nightmare. So they spent the 4 weeks in rehearsals just kind of like rehearsing like this. Just, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's Paul there. That is quite the cover-up, whether it worked for him or not. So what kind of excuses have you come up with when you're trying to cover up for yourself? Actually, the more extraordinary, the more elaborate they are, the better. I would really like to hear them. I can't really think of some, because normally I can come up with these kind of things, but I haven't made up anything that dramatic. I mean, traffic on the M50 is always my big excuse, but nothing else as dramatic as that. Shouldn't be even saying that, because now I'm revealing things about myself when I'm talking to people. But anyway, on friends, text in said, I found that my friendships dwindled during COVID. I don't know why. It's been hard. I would say a lot of people can relate to that, because I think the Zoom was initially exciting, but then it became exhausting and tiring and a bit of a strain sometimes. So, yeah, that's one texter. And Brenda, I can't remember my partner's number, but I can remember the landline of my best friends from 20 years ago. Lost my pals along the way, but the ones that remained are the very best ones for life, said Cleona. Yeah, keep them coming in. 51551 on friendship. And definitely we'll give a shout out to that person that you consider your friend, whether they're in your life daily or somebody from the past that you can just reach out to, you can grab and you know will be there for you. Anyway, now, not everyone knows that, that there are a number of unspoken rules to follow when you're travelling on a plane, from who will automatically get the armrest, you know, I'm getting it, I want the window seat, I like the aisle personally, but to not pulling your seat back as people are eating, nothing worse. But have a listen to this. A passenger aboard a flight from Athens to Amsterdam shared her most recent experience. All was going well until the person in front of her threw back her long locks of hair over the seat mid-flight. Oh my God, she must have had some length in her hair. I've seen the photo as well. It's really long, really long hair, flowing right back over her headset onto her tray where the passenger behind is meant to eat from. She didn't say anything, but very kindly, and we're very grateful to her, she did share it on social media. So I want to know, what would you do? Would you ask politely to keep your hair to yourself, put it up in a bobbin? For God's sake, is it worth the confrontation? Maybe it depends on the length of the flight. Anyway, I've seen people with their socks off on a plane, then stretching out their feet beside them, the person in front of them, which really is a bit too much. Have you had any experiences on a plane where you've had to pipe up and say, please don't? There's nothing worse than, you know, falling asleep in a plane, then you might start to snore. That's a really bad one. And you feel really embarrassed then. Not that it's happened to me or anyone I know. But no, it has happened. 51551. And I have, just before I play a little piece of music, I have two pieces of fabulous news. Great news. Big congratulations to Hilary Swank, who is expecting twins. The Oscar-winning actress, who's 48, announced yesterday that herself and her husband, Philip Schneider, are going to be parents. She said, this is something I've been wanting for a long time. The next thing I'm going to be is a mum. And not just of one, but of two. I can't believe it. Twins running her family and her husband's is such a blessing. It's a total miracle. It's unbelievable, she raved. Well, best of luck. Safe pregnancy. Well done, Hilary Swank. Feet up now. And another piece of very good news is Pennies and Girls Aloud, you know, the band Girls Aloud, have teamed up to honour the memory of band member Sarah Harding, who died from breast cancer in September 2021. The campaign launched during Breast Cancer Awareness Month will see Cheryl, Kimberly, Nadine and Nicole from Girls Aloud release a pyjama line. I love Penny's pyjamas. I always do. They're a great Christmas present for me. Penny's pyjamas. Just knock it there. Trudy, if you're listening, Penny's pyjamas. Anyway, this exclusive collection, styled by the renowned Harry Lambert, will feature a nightshirt and pyjamas. In Ireland, 50% of the sales from the line will go to the Irish Cancer Society to help fund cancer awareness, and a minimum donation of 500k will be made between the UK and Ireland. So that is brilliant. The pyjamas are available today in all Penny stores, all different sizes, €16 to 20, which is a brilliant collaboration, a great cause. And we do remember Sarah and we do remember the band. We really enjoyed them when they were all together. And it's really good that they'll come together as friends, continuing that theme, honour each other, care for each other, do something good for it. And so while I'm mentioning them, we might as well play a track. Girls Aloud. And it's Girls Aloud there and Sound of the Underground. Remember, they're teaming up with Pennies in memory of their great friend, Sarah Harding. And the money will go to the Irish Cancer Society and for research as well on their pyjama line. So well done. Brenda back in 2019 on a trip to San Francisco on a flight from Dublin. The guy in the seat in front of me took off his shoes and socks and held his bare feet up to the ceiling to the air vents. At different times during the flight, disgusting. We asked the air hostess to ask him to stop. He just ignored the request. Lovely. And that's a long out flight as well. Keep them coming in. 51551. But now it's time for this. Yes, it's time to tell you about today's quiz. We're reeling in the ears. We've gathered up the sounds, the clips from all those years and decades, including songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And we're looking for two people to come on and answer three questions each. But there's a little twist. A short clip, which will be a little bit harder, get you 2 points. And a long clip should be a little bit easier. You'll get 1 point. 2 points for a short clip, 1 point for a long. Have I got it? Have you got it? Yes, we've got it. Are you brave enough to take part? Well, you will be when you hear about the prize, because today our lucky winner will win a chance. They'll win a 2-night stay for two adults at the Photo Island Resort, with breakfast each morning and dinner in the Amber Lounge on an evening of their choice. They can experience the great facilities on site at Photo Island Resort, including many walking trails, an indoor pool, a world-class Photo Island spa, and the exclusive Cove restaurant. And there's golf and lots more to do. And you've got all the surrounding area there. You've Photo Wildlife Park. You have the first-class English Market. You've Ballymaloe's wonderful gardens. The Farmer's Market Middleton, which I was at for Countrywide a couple of years ago, definitely worth a check out. Anyway, and the beautiful Blue Flag Beach is nearby, so if you're one of those sea swimmers, go for it. So if you're not lucky enough to win on this occasion, you can find out more about their autumn and winter packages on at Photo Island Resort by visiting photoisland.ie. But back to the most important point. Today's quiz, if you want to enter, you've got to answer this question. Can you complete the surname of the Irish actor who is about to host Saturday Night Live this weekend? Brendan what? Can you complete the surname of the Irish actor who is about to host Saturday Night Live this weekend? Brendan what? Brendan blank. Call us now, 0818715925, 0818715925. And we have more in. A big shout out to my friend Breffni in Cork, who's been my rock over the last few years when life has given me lemons. She's been the one to help me make it lemonade. Oh yeah, I don't thank her enough for all she does. So I want to say a huge thank you to you today from Maeve in Cork. Big thank you from Maeve to Breffni. We're going to take a break, but after the break, especially if you're on the school run, stay with us, because we'll be talking alternative teaching.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And it's Brenda here in for Ray. So we're talking about flights and mad experiences on flights. And it says, "Hi Brenda, I was once on a long haul flight where the gentleman in the seat in front of me constantly pushed his seat back. Each time it hit my right knee, ow, I winced and cursed him. Being Irish and too nice, I gave him a thick ear. I opted instead to go to the loo and give him a bull's look when returned to my seat. When I came to landing, the hostess asked him to return his seat to the upright position. He said it was broken and he'd spent the entire flight trying to fix it and get comfortable. I was so glad I helped my whist. Well done, Brian." Hi, Brenda. I have long hair and wouldn't dream of flicking it backwards on a plane. I would have to put my tray down and back up. She wouldn't be long about moving it if it caught in the table tray. I flicked my hair back. Anyways, a range of schools now have opened across the country with a focus on child direct learning, offering an alternative approach to mainstream education. So how does a system without a curriculum, principal and exams work? Kira Breheny from Wicklow Democratic School joins me now on the line to tell me all about her school. Hiya Kira, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good, Brenda. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Tell me, where's the school first of all? Give me the geography and how many people and pupils are in it and all of that.
Yeah. We're in Rathnew in County Wicklow, just a few minutes from Wicklow town, and we currently have 33 students. Okay. So we're small. Yeah. We're a small school.
You're small. So I'm trying to get my head around this, okay? Because I'm thinking there's an awful lot of people, you know, dropping and collecting from school at the moment. They're listening. And as soon as they go in the door, they'll say, look, just get your homework done first. So the homework will have to be done, the uniform. You know, and that's their plan for the evening. So how does your school differ? We have no homework, first of all. Give me the philosophy behind it, Ciara.
Yeah, so, and I've been there. I've been that mother harassing her kids when they come in the door to do their homework. Essentially, the philosophy is much more about the children leading where what they want to learn. You know, from the time they're born, they're learning to walk and talk, and by observing and by being part of the family, we create the conditions, and then they learn what they need to learn. We're not on a clock saying they should be, you know, doing something by this date, and if they don't, well then we will, you know, give them something to make it happen. And yeah, so it's a continuation of that, you know, where the children are very much, they know what they want to be doing with their time, they know what they want to learn, they know what they're curious about and interested about, interested in, and we're just facilitating that.
So I'm just trying to think, because when you, I'm thinking primary school, but I know you cover across the range ages, but I'm just thinking like a teacher will go in for the day. And I'm thinking primary school here, but you know, they'll have, but they all do. They have a class plan. So they might start the day with Irish, you know, then do a bit of maths, then they have a break. Then, so how do you cover all these topics? And, you know, if it, a child might necessarily volunteer the children to study maths or multiplication or whatever.
So, yes, you're right. We don't go in with a plan. Each child comes in with their own plan, and every day it's different from the day before. Essentially, we do have a sort of a co-created timetable that we, at the start of each term, we kind of put together classes and who's going to be, who wants to do what. It is, there's no one that does everything on the timetable, and there's some who do some of the things on the timetable, and there's some who do nothing. They're just completely self-directed in their own learning. You'd be surprised, the staple subjects of English, Irish, maths, science, they're all there. They're asked for. The kids do want to learn those. Certainly the younger ones, the sort of under 12, it's very play-based. And then as they get older, they start to become more focused on what it is they want to learn. So they do, and you know, there's one way of learning, which is out of a textbook, which suits some students, and it doesn't suit everyone. Some kids want to work their way through a workbook, and they do that. Others, for example, and maths is a good example, they're learning that in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes they're not even aware they are, whether it's, you know, baking or going to the shop, figuring out how much they're going to get for their X amount of money, how much change they'll get. Or, you know, working out for example, we had some young teens making a dirt jump for their bike. There was amazing maths went into that, calculating the how much speed they had to get up to make the jump and all of that. So there's learning that happens in what you might say are invisible ways, but it's just a very organic, intuitive way to learn.
I still am struggling, and you know, and I do think, you know, schools can be hard on children. You know, it's not for everybody, that classroom setup. You know, some children don't thrive. All you want is for your children to thrive, and in whatever forum that is. But particularly if you have like 13, 14 year old, and you don't have an exam, which is probably great, but you don't have an exam, how do you monitor? Or do you need to monitor how far along they are, or what stage they're at, or what area they need to focus more on? How does that work? Yeah, you can tell. You can. No, I'm not knocking it. I'm kind of going, this could be great.
No, listen, I have this kind of conversation with people all the time. It's quite a leap. There's the people who come to us because their child needs something different, and they've been led there by their child, and it's quite a leap. Takes quite a bit of work themselves in terms of reading and researching. And then there's other people who have been looking for something like this from the time they conceived of having children. So there's different levels of people who their understanding and how much they get this way of doing it. To be honest, it's been done all across the world for like 100 years now, if not more. And we're just kind of, paddy laughed here in Ireland. We catch up eventually, but it takes us a while. Our school was the first in 2016, and there's now two more up and running and another four or five in the works. So there's definitely an appetite for this kind of education for their kids. It is hard to imagine what it looks like. Yeah. And I really hear your question there. How do you measure what they're learning? To be honest, the kind of measurement you're talking about is really only relevant within the mainstream system. You know, you want to know, like if I'm a teacher of third or fourth class, I want to know that my students, by the time I'm passing them on to the next year's teacher, that they've got what they need from the curriculum, because we're all part of something bigger and we have to make sure everybody gets everyone over the line. That just doesn't feature in our school unless it's self-imposed by a child. Some kids really like that. They like to set goals for themselves. And it's our job as staff to help them facilitate that.
Okay, so I want to find out how you came to this, but can you talk me through a typical day? Do I arrive in, everybody come in at the same time, or do I say, I'll be in for 10 today, that's what suits me. Sorry, I'm just kind of thinking it could be fantastic.
Well, no. We do have core hours between 10 and 3, but the school is open from 9 to 4, so there is an hour flexible either end for kids. And you have kids who are queuing up at night. When you arrived, open the gates at 9, they're there. And then there's others who really appreciate having that extra hour to come in for 10. And each day is different for each child. It's kind of like, I mean, there is, as I said, there is a timetable as such, and they can opt in to things. So there's plenty of things happening. And then on top of that, there's stuff that's just organically happening themselves.
Like, I'm just fascinated with the organic thing. Like cooking.
Yeah, cooking. Mm. There's always somebody cooking. We have a kitchen, we have a music room, we have an art room, we have a library, lots of play spaces and outdoor space. So cooking is a good example. There will nearly always be somebody in there, whether it's somebody, so the teenagers who they don't want to bring in a packed lunch, they want to cook themselves a lunch or a breakfast when they come in. Other times there could be a spontaneous, I feel like baking, so somebody starts baking, or someone is doing an online cookery course and they've got dishes to make across the month or whatever, or a class where we have a weekly class where there's a group of people who come together and they bake or cook together.
And Ciara, are you the principal, or is there?
No.
There's no hierarchy.
No.
So there's no. Because you know sometimes you're sent to the principal's office and that's the.
No, that doesn't happen.
No.
No. So there isn't a principal. It is democratic. It is run by the students and the staff together. All decisions are made in a twice weekly meeting, and anyone can write a proposal for anything, whether it's to get resources to buy something or to go somewhere on a trip or to, you know, whatever they want. A new rule that doesn't exist but should, or it's open to everyone. And okay. We all have one vote.
Somebody's just tweeted here. They said, kids making their own rules for school. I'm glad I finished wearing my children. Seems you don't say no to your kids now for any reason, for fear of offending them. How would you answer that one, Ciara?
Oh, I'm in agreement with that person, in the sense that, you know, it's freedom, not license, which is it's a title of a book by A.S. Neil, who opened Summerhill School 100 years ago. It's still going in the UK. Mm. You would be amazed. Kids are not stupid. They want to be things to be fair. They want things to be safe, the same way that you or I do. In our experience, and there's a huge history and lots of research and studies around these kind of schools. When you trust kids, they live up to that. When they're given a chance, when they to be genuinely listened to and to genuinely have a voice, not just to sort of, you know, this is the student's council, but actually they've no power. They know that. Whereas in our school, they do.
I don't mean to interrupt. I'm just thinking. I suppose it's the half the job. But I'm just thinking, right? You know, some kid, is it a kind of a let off in a way? You know, I know you meant to come on, Brenda, open up your mind. I'm trying to open up my mind. I'm probably clouded because, you know, I've been through each stage of the education system. I've done the Leaving Cert practically myself. You know, I've sat the junior cert. So, you know, do the children measure up in terms of exams and the Leaving Cert? Do they sit them? Can they go on to third level education? What do you get or what do you hope to get at the end of their schooling?
They so far, all our graduates have gone on to further education, some to third level. All except one so far have gone to do like a PLC course, and then some have, as I said, have gone on to third level from that.
Well, it's not all about third level as well. I mean,
no, exactly, exactly. Mm. So they can sit the Leaving Cert if they want, and so far no one has chosen to do that because they're too busy learning about stuff they actually want to learn about. And there is this other route to third level through the QQI, and that's so far what our graduates have done.
I'm just wondering if people are listening with children, how would they feel about this? Would you text us in 51551 and let us know, would you consider sending your children to a democratic school, curriculum, principal, exams, not on the table? What do you think? Could it be the best thing ever? Does it depend on the child? Do you consider it a bit much? We'd love to hear what you think. How did you come to this yourself, Ciara?
Yeah, if I could just speak to what you were just saying there first. It is hard in a few minutes on the radio to put across.
I know. And
a parent earlier today described the school as a school of life. There's a whole range of other things that they're having the opportunity to learn that they don't learn in mainstream. And we're not trying to replace mainstream. There's a place for everything. We just want to offer more choice. But you have kids who are learning how to resolve conflict, how to actually love learning. They're learning how to listen to each other. They're learning how to, you know, figure out what they want to do instead of going out into the world after the Leaving Cert and then having to decide what to do their degree in, and then only after that having the time to go, well, actually, what do I want to do? Who am I? They get to do all of that in school. And I've forgotten the question you just asked me there.
Oh, how same I came here. How did it. You yeah. come to it, Ciara?
Yeah, well, I have four children of my own. They're all mostly grown up. Our youngest is the only one still in our school. He's 15. Our 19-year-old just graduated last June at 18. And then our older two went through mainstream school. And to be honest, they all had very different experiences of school, and none of them good. Very different personalities, very different needs, very different experiences, but none of them positive. And I was seeing a lot of my own school experience being played out again. And when I came across these other schools in other countries, I was just blown away. And all I wanted was something like this for my kids, but didn't have the time to wait for someone else to do it. So I just started talking to whoever would talk to me about it, and a group of us found each other and got together, and the rest is history.
Well, it is amazing, and it certainly is literally food for thought, whether you're deciding to do it on the syllabus on the day and going to do cooking. It's amazing, Ciara, and it's called the Wicklow Democratic School. It's not the only one in the country. If people, if we've whet their appetite and they want to find out more, you have an open day. When is it on again?
It's on the 19th of October, which is coming up soon. And we do have open days regularly throughout the year. The next one is on the 19th.
Yeah, it's a lot to kind of, you know, take on, but it might be just what your child needs to thrive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And the research is out there. If anyone wants to go and read up on it, it's worldwide. We're not sort of the only ones doing this. It's not something we've invented.
Yeah, Brenda Trill, that there are other options outside the national curriculum and the school system. A lot of conformity with schools as well. It's just learning things off for the sake of it. Have a 2 and 5-year-old who will go to Sudbury School.
Anyway,
there's a lot to think about there, Ciara. You're so good for putting up with some of my questions there.
No, it's it's all part of it. You know, we want to spread the word and, you know, help people to understand more what it is we're doing.
And so for all the pupils of Wicklow Democratic School, you've no homework as per normal today. So good luck. Thanks, Ciara, for talking to us.
No problem. Thanks, Brenda.
And that's Ciara from Wicklow Democratic School. We're going to take a break. And after the break, we will be talking to Professor Fergal Malone and we'll be debunking sexual health myths. Talk to you then.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And it's Brenda here in with you today. 51551. Now, one thing Irish people are great for is the gift of the gab. But when it comes to talking about sexual health, not so much. A new programme being delivered by the Royal College of Surgeons Ireland, titled Debunking the Myths, is hoping to open back up these conversations and get students talking. Master of the Rotunda Hospital, Professor Fergal Malone, joins me now. Great to see you in studio and to take you away from the very important work you do. Thank you, Fergal. Tell me a little bit about this. How did it come about, debunking the myths?
So we've been getting requests for many years from schools for transition year students to come in and spend time with us just to see what they might want to do for career choices. And during that time, we also heard from a lot of students and their teachers that, geez, I heard some great information was in there, and it totally opened my eyes to what things are all about. And would you put on a program, and would you, how about giving us a program or helping us out with this, getting information out on sexual health and sexuality? And we have a team there who put together a request to Science Foundation Ireland for some initial funding, and they were successful in getting a program launched on debunking the myths. And it's gone from strength to strength. We put out an initial request for information to schools, and within in August this year, and we thought we'd have about 800 applicants come in. We had 1,300 people signed up within a couple of weeks, and now we have 4,000 students.
Wow.
So from 20 schools around the country, and we've already delivered the programme to many of them. So it's really popular.
It's funny because I always feel sorry for teachers when they have to give the talk.
The talk.
Let's put it like the talk. So the, you know, sexual health information, and there's a bit of sniggering, whether it's all boys, all girls, mixed. But I wonder how much of it actually gets through. It's very difficult for teachers unless they're specifically trained or this is a vocation for them. And I feel for them. And I want to know what is different about this than what's already going on in the schools for teachers, with teachers.
So this program is designed to be very much supportive of teachers and teachers' roles. So it does not, it's not intended to replace the relationships and sexual education program, the RSC program that goes on in the schools. This is really additive, and it's really to try and make sure that we pitch this in a way that's not talking down to kids. That's the key. So we have it pitched in a way where we have young presenters, much younger than me, who students can relate to, and they're talking about topics that they want to hear about: anatomy, male and female anatomy, contraception, sexually transmitted infections, body image, sexuality. So it covers all of these topics, contraception, and in a way that is, as I say, not talking down, but practical, and really puts students, transitioning students, in a place where they can ask questions that they want to do. So, for example, we did this program earlier this week, one in a hotel in the centre of Dublin, where we had 100 kids in there in the afternoon. And we have an app on their smartphones that they can log into, and then during the 2-hour program, they can put their questions in, and the questions are anonymous, but they come up on a screen. So people, students will often have a hard time putting their hand up in a class and asking a question that they might make them sound silly or stupid. But they will put it, with their smartphones, they're so adept at using, into an app which appears on the screen, where we have GPs, gynecology experts all in the room, and say, well, good question. You know, give us the myths that you've heard, and we'll address those myths and we'll put them straight.
Can you give me some examples? What are the myths we are talking about? What is the, I suppose, the misinformation or information they kind of grow up with and they never clear?
The classic one is sexually transmitted infections, if I don't have the symptoms, I can't have an STI. So that's easily put aside. You can tell people, no, actually, there's lots of people can have an STI and actually don't have any symptoms. So just because there's no symptoms, that's a common one. The other one that comes up a lot of times would be the morning after pill only works on the morning after. Well, actually, not true. Yes, it's most effective if used as soon as possible to the time that unprotected sex happened, but it can be successful for 3 or 5 days afterwards. Periods are always 3 to 5 days. Well, no, actually, periods can last shorter than that or longer than that. And how do you know it's normal or abnormal? The pill needs to be taken for 3 weeks and a week off. Well, no, not necessarily. You can take the pill for, you know, back to back packets of pill if you want to. So there's lots of things like that have come out from our experience with students. These are the questions that are put up on the app that we then address and say, well, that's actually not true.
Do you know what? It sounds like a very practical approach to answering some of these questions for children. When you think about, say, I was going to say our generation, I don't know if we're in around the same age, but let's just say we're close enough. Our generation and how we were told about sexual habits, sexual behaviour, compared to the generation now, there's obviously an openness there, but then we didn't have TikTok and, you know, all those kind of images. So what are the challenges informing children and giving them kind of a healthy attitude to their own sexual outlook?
So while it's great with social media and the availability of internet-based resources to give easy access to information, the problem for our teenagers is they have no filter. They have no way to filter that information or figure out what's fake news and what's real news, or what's real information. So what we're trying to do is make sure that they're getting their information from the right places and that they know to ask the right questions. And that's what's really useful about this program, is it gives that opportunity to ask the questions of the experts. The ESRI had some research done just about a year and a half ago where they showed that the vast majority of 13-year-olds get their information on sex from the parents. The vast majority of 17-year-olds, however, get their information from friends. And when you look at people who get most of their information from friends, they have a statistically much lower incidence of using contraception.
Wow.
So there's some very clear links between where you get your information and how good it is and how it's acted upon. So you can't just say, ah, it's all on TikTok now. You know, it's all there. You can't. You have to provide proper places to get accurate information. And of course, the other problem with TikTok and the social media outlets is the idealized, standardized body images that are being pushed. You know, the people think, well, my periods last 2 days, that's abnormal, or my body shape is this size, that's abnormal. When, you know, they've made that decision because they've been shown a standardized, idealized body image or piece of information. And then they assume that it must be correct. And of course,
that's
we know
so dangerous.
It's so dangerous.
So dangerous. And I'm thinking of some parents tend to maybe sidestep talking to their children about their sexual health and say, well, look, the school's covering that. They'll get all that. Has that been your experience?
It's definitely been our experience that while more and more parents are more comfortable now talking about sex with their kids, but it is true that still lots of people assume that the schools are going to look after this. And you're right, some teachers don't feel empowered to do it. Many teachers do and do a great job. And this Debunking the Myths program is simply there as an added layer to help and support what our teachers are doing.
And I'm just thinking there are no silly questions. And probably that's where the myths come from, because you think it's kind of silly and you just presume what's not true is true. Does that make any sense to you?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's probably a silly question, but there are no silly questions.
There's no such thing as a silly question.
No.
You must ask it.
Yeah, you must ask it. So how can we talk to them without talking down to them?
Yeah.
I think that is a challenge. And, you know, I like the fact that you've experts and everything on board, but how do you connect directly with them?
So it's making things practical. So we started off with the program by making it small groups of students in-person groups where we had a range of experts talking to them at a practical level with examples of how things are done. Now, based on the popularity, we're now expanding that into a virtual online program that will reach in April probably about 4,000 1,000 students at a time. So it's really making things accessible and in a language that they understand.
Well, Professor Fergal Malone, thank you so much for coming into us and chatting to me today, debunking the myths. It's a project that's running from October to March of this year, and the HSE has announced that there's a free national home testing service for sexually transmitted infections for those aged 17 and over, which was piloted last year and has now been expanded to all counties in the Republic. You better go and deliver some babies.
Thank you, Brenda.
What an important job. Anyway, I really appreciate you coming in to talk to us. That's Professor Fergal Malone.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And it's Brenda here in with you today. But an ishtoshe now in the brief scale Nanuatha Lamarianni Hulawan. Gormila Mahagot Maraid. And let me see, Professor Fergal Malone delivered my beautiful boys almost 13 years ago. Always love hearing them. Such a calming force for mams, especially when things aren't going perfectly. Forever grateful to him. I certainly bet you are. As I said, we're going to have the quiz. And guess what? Now it's time for the quiz. It's reeling in the ears. And we have a fantastic prize in Fota Ireland Resort up for grabs with breakfast each morning, two nights stay and dinner in the Amber Lounge. And we have our questions. But on the line, who's going to play it? On line one, we have Donal. Good afternoon, Donal Kelly.
Good afternoon, Brenda. How are you?
I'm grand, thanks very much. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Can't complain at all.
Okay, where are you? What are you doing? What do you have for your breakfast?
I'm just down the road from your home county, just down the road there in Port Leash. So,
okay.
Yeah, rashers and sausages.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did actually.
And girl, what do you do for a living? Was it a breakfast roll or what?
Oh, no. It was just by themselves with a few eggs. That was it. You know, nothing major.
What do you do for a living?
So, yeah.
Donor.
I sell food packaging to the hotel and catering sectors.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And have you been hit with the cost of living increases or has it been?
I think everybody's been hit with it, Brenda, haven't they? I mean, I don't think anyone's going to escape it. Maybe Michael O'Leary or someone like yourself, but not me.
Did you say like myself? Hey,
yeah.
I only wish. Now, come here, who have you at home? Who's going to be supporting you? Who's helping you out? Who's in the house? What's going on?
My wife, Irene, is there, and my three kids, daughters, Rachel and Emily, and my son, Adam, are all there listening in, and their nieces and nephews are there as well today.
Oh, my God. That's a packed house.
So they're all listening in. I'm sure they're hooping and hollering listening to it.
You've gone away from them for peace.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't concentrate with those around you. So yeah. But hi guys, how are you?
Yeah, tell me about Irene.
Yeah, so Irene's my wife. We're married 16 years, so we're coming up to our wedding anniversary next week or the week after. So the 18th. So yeah. So I'm looking forward to winning her. I'm looking forward to winning her anniversary present here.
Oh, well, you mightn't. Sorry, Donald.
Well, it's a cost of living.
You know, well, you mightn't. Where did you meet Irene?
I was working for Fuji. She was working for Spectra Photo, and we met through work. So yeah, we were competitors back in the day. So it's 20 years ago since we met, and we met in Kilkenny. When we finally met for the second time, we met in Kilkenny, but our first time was in Liffey Street in Dublin in a shop called Pixels that's closed now. But that was 20 years ago. Seems like it was only yesterday, but Jesus, time does fly.
Oh, picture perfect. Bang, bang. Do you get it?
There you go. Yeah.
Well, look, you know, probably about to destroy you and Irene's anniversary is Mairead Toomey. Mairead, you are a primary school teacher in Cork. Good afternoon to you. What is going on? Are you on your way home?
Good afternoon, Brenda. Yes, that's right. I'm on the way home from school.
Oh, listen, who are you teaching? What are you teaching? Tell me all about you.
So I teach in the primary school and I teach third and fourth class.
Right. So a hail. Will we just give her the prize already? What do you think, Donal?
It's starting to sound like it, isn't it?
Whereabouts in Cork are you, Mairead? And what's the school?
So I'm in Mallow, County Cork.
Ah.
And so just heading home after a hectic day at work.
Okay, I can imagine. Tell me, are they boys, girls, mixed? What is it?
Well, would you believe there's 28 in the class and 19 of them are boys.
Okay, right. So a lot of talk of soccer and Gaelic and yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm are you up to speed?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Ronaldo will always be my favourite anyway.
Well, I think he's there. Well, that'll clear if you just say his name, Messi, and a few others. That's they'll think you know what you're talking about.
They do. Exactly.
Exactly. Listen, talk to me about your dinner. What's on the table tonight? What are you thinking of? Are you hungry?
Oh, God, I'm always hungry. And nothing as fancy as a Sport Island resort, I'm afraid. But it's just spaghetti bolognese.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
I do a very straightforward. I literally do the spaghetti, the mincemeat, throw in the bolognese, and that's it. There's no mushrooms, there's no onions, there's no nothing. If they're lucky, they get a bit of grated cheese. And I'm all about less ingredients, less utensils, dinner done.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Will you be like that?
Oh, I'm exactly like that.
Okay. You know, I could chat to you for ages, but I need to get going with the quiz. Are you ready?
Yes, ready.
Do you want to wish each other luck?
Best of luck, Donald.
All right. Do you want to know what the year is? Okay. The year is 2007. So I hope your knowledge is good in that. We're starting off with you, Donald. Your first question, please. It's in the movies. Do you want to go long or short? Remember, short's two. Short, so you're going for the 2 points. Okay. So, your first question. Set in Paris, this delightful animation followed the adventures of the last animal you would probably want cooking your meal. Can you name the movie? Have a listen to this.
Kill it.
Now?
No. Not in the kitchen. Are you mad? Do you know what would happen to us if anyone knew we had a rat in our kitchen?
Well, Donald.
Ratatouille?
Yep, you got your 2 points. You're up and running. Well done. Okay, Mairead, are we going to go long or short?
I'll go short, please.
Short. It's in the movies. I forgot to say that to you. Okay, you're going short. Okay. All right, so have a listen to this. Best described as a musical fantasy romantic comedy, this movie followed the adventures of a princess who landed in New York City after a spell had been cast on her. Can you name this movie? Have a listen.
You see, I've been wandering very far and long tonight, and I'm afraid nobody's been very nice to me.
Yeah, well, welcome to New York.
Well?
Oh, God.
Mairead? Can I give her a hint? No, I can't. No, sorry. Yeah. You could put it on for the kids on school on Friday.
I know, I'm trying to think. It's not Frozen anyway.
Nope, that's it. So, sorry, you're gone. You're gone.
Okay.
All right, we'll go to second question. Okay, it's in the charts. Donal, do you want to go long? I should give you the correct answer. It's Enchanted. Sorry about that. In the charts, your question, Donal, do you want to go long or short?
Oh, short.
God, you're very brave, aren't you? Okay, so here's your question. Okay. This was a number one hit for this songstress. Can you name the song or the singer?
Closed off from love, I didn't need the pain.
Well, that was very short.
Leona Lewis?
Oh my God, that's 2 points. Well done, it topped the Irish charts Bleeding Love for a whopping 8 weeks, so you're up to 4 now. You're flying it. Right, you need to roll up the sleeves here, Mairead. In the charts, do you want to go long or short?
I'd better go short.
You better go short. Okay, here is your question. This was also a number one hit for this female artist. Can you name the song or the singer?
And we'll never be worlds apart, maybe in magazines.
Go on, Mairead. Oh, I know you know it. Do you know it?
Yeah, I know it too.
Oh.
Oh, I can't think.
I'm going to have to go 0.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry. I think that means, Donal, that you are our winner. But I'll give you the next questions anyway. Just see how you get on. So don't say nothing. In the news, do you want long or short? 2007 saw the reunion of what girl group? Oh.
Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. Yes, without even hearing the clip. All right. Listen, Mairead, we're really sorry about that. We'll send you out a few Ray Darcy show mugs just to keep you going. You can use them in the staff room. Hard luck, Mairead.
Thanks, Brenda. And congratulations, Donald.
All right.
Safe. Barry Gogan would say that they didn't suit you on the day.
Yeah. Mairead, safe home. Enjoy the spag ball. Hey, Donal.
Yo.
You and Irene. Very romantic. You can take a nice picture and head off to Fota Island. Find out more information on fotaisland.ie. Have a great weekend.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, Brenda. Thanks for everything.
All right. Okay. Thanks a million, Donal.
Thank
the
you.
Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And it's Brenda here until 4:30. Infrared 51551. Well, you never know what to expect when you're working in radio or who you might be talking to. But when I came in this morning, I asked them to repeat what they said to me because the team said to me, how would you feel about talking to David Gann from Depeche Mode? How would I feel? How would I feel? Sure, the teenager in me spent the nights bopping along songs like Just Can't Get Enough or Personal Jesus. I just leapt with joy. Depeche Mode have announced this week that they would be releasing a new album and going on tour, including a stop in Malahide Castle next June, with tickets going on sale tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And I can't wait to talk to Dave. God help. I mean, seriously, God help him. Anyway, tomorrow on the show after 3:00. So just to get us in the mood, while I'm preparing Fiona Looney's chair for the studio here and getting the blankets and everything out, right? Why don't we just take a track from the brilliant Depeche Mode? Here's Personal Jesus. Ah, yeah, me and Dave, huh? We're going to have some chat tomorrow. You big Depeche Mode fan, Fiona?
Do you know what? I have to tell you, I've wiped your eye with Dave Gann because I interviewed him 100 years ago.
Okay.
Back in the day. And, you know, they're really smart. They were always a really smart band, kind of step above. Because they kind of came out in that kind of smash hitsy kind of Just Can't
Top
Get
of
Enough.
The Pops and all
then
that.
They
yeah.
started going deep and dark. And yeah. yeah, no, really good stuff.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I'll rewipe your eye, if you know what I mean.
Feel free to rewipe my eye.
You're in for a chat. There's a lot on your mind. Mm. Let's kind of get into it straight away. You want me to do an experiment?
So I want to talk to you about basketball. Okay.
Really?
And I want you to say basketball. Do say it right now.
Basketball.
Did you play basketball in school?
I did, but then I fell the night before my
debs. Yeah, don't care. Just keep saying basketball.
I fell when I was playing basketball the night before my debs.
Right.
On my nose. And I kind of had a big kind of bruised, swollen nose. And that.
And did it ruin your photos?
On me.
You see, I've lost interest in basketball now. I just want to talk about this.
A big perm on me. What more can I say? The photos weren't great.
Basketball.
And basketball.
I played it in school as well.
Really?
And the reason that I am shoehorning it into every conversation this afternoon is a little experiment. So both you and I'm committing the mortal sin that I've my phone in studio with me, but we both have them on. Now, they're on silent, but they're beside us. And we're saying basketball several times, and I've already said it to the producer, Niamh, earlier, because this comes from when I was at Electric Picnic this year, this summer, this autumn. I was walking through the campsite with my best friend, and we were talking about how bad we are at camping. And I said, my sister's brilliant at camping.
We went camping.
Yeah, we were posh camping. We cheated, posh camping.
We did. We actually went to a bed and breakfast, but never mind, that's another story. Go on.
Anyway, legitimately in EP we were in tents, right?
Glamping.
But clamping. Mm-hmm. And we were saying how bad we were at camping and basketball. And I said, my sister is really good and has all the camping gear. And I said, she even has one of those like little lightweight pizza ovens you bring around with you. And my friend said, oh, an umi oven. I said, is that what they're called? I didn't say the word, she did. And when we went back to the tent 10 minutes later, I looked at Instagram and the first thing on it was an ad. On my Instagram was an ad trying to sell me an umi pizza oven. Now, I've never ordered a pizza in my life. I've never. No, probably not. I certainly have never used my phone to order
strange
a pizza.
Person.
It's not something I'm very interested in, but out of nowhere. And I didn't say umi. I've said it a lot now.
Yeah.
She did. And so what we're trying to do by rekindling our great love of basketball is we're going to see by the end of the programme if we have got any ads on our phones trying to flog us basketballs or anything associated. So I can tell you when Niamh and I were on the phone earlier as we were talking about basketball at great length, she got an ad from Decathlon on her Facebook feed. So now I've looked, I checked just before I came in, and mine are all just still cat videos and ads for really cheap jewellery. They know me so well.
Now I just have Roy Keane is linked to replace his former United captain.
Well, that's not an ad now, to be fair.
Rebecca Allen loves anti-aging cleansing oil that prevents wrinkles. Vogue Williams tells of fright.
Yeah, you're reading your headlines. You're not reading your ads.
Okay, sorry. Would you just, where's my ads?
Are you on Facebook?
Yeah,
or
I'm on Facebook.
I'm not on Facebook, but wait till I go to my Instagram and see what
anyway,
I've
got. Anyway, isn't that weird sometimes though? You brought the topic up, basketball.
See,
whatever.
I think that it's become much more.
When you don't say the word and you only think it, or you think of a person and then you get a friend request.
See, I think
what's
now
going on?
There's
why is
mind
that
reading going on. Mm. You know, I do think that, like, we all accept now, and it's funny because 10 years ago, people used to go, your phone listens to you. And people would go, well, you're mad. You know, put on your tinfoil hat and off you go. But we now, you know, accept that your phone listens to you. So why can't it read your mind? So we all get very targeted algorithms. When I turned 50, and I know, Brenda, you're many, many years away from that.
Away from that.
Unfortunately, in the wrong direction. But anyway, I went overnight. I don't know whether you noticed this. So, like, when I was 49 and 364 days old, I was still getting ads going, live your best life. And you go, you know, kind of scuba diving in the Maldives and, you know, put on this fake tan and be fantastic. And literally 24 hours later, it was, well, you need a replacement hip and a hearing aid. And have you considered how you're going to pay for your funeral because you're poor family? And like literally overnight, without me doing anything except the calendar turning. And I just think it's really interesting that these algorithms are getting smarter and smarter.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it really is. And for me, when I turned 40, I can't remember what age it was now. But you'd get how to look sexy when you're 50.
Yeah.
And these ads of these
albums
and boutiques trying on tops and everything.
I remember getting one which was something like 50 hairstyles you might be able to get away with when you're 50.
Or don't wear 10. Mascara when you're 50. All these things you shouldn't do.
Was basically stop going out, accept it's all over and get a hearing aid and we'll talk about it
and
then,
your knees are going to fall apart along with your hips and everything.
Overnight.
And come here, did you hear our chat about school and alternative schooling? Because in terms of parental advice, you want to talk about that for a minute as well.
I also want to mention this. And again, this is a conversation that I recalled having for a thing I was writing this week. At some point I will write a longer piece about advice to parents of young children, because you know more than myself, we're coming to the end of that long road of
I still have a 13-year-old.
I know, but you're like, what were you at? I mean, I've said that to you before.
Me
like,
and Hillary's
what happened
bank.
There? Yeah. What Go on. The hell happened there? Well, I am done and dusted. I mean, my baby is 20, about to turn 21. But it's kind of, I've sort of amassed a couple of little bits of advice that I sort of wish that somebody had told me back in the day, because it could have saved a lot of time.
Like?
And, well, the one that brought this to mind is when my eldest was a toddler, she went through a phase where she wore swimming armbands all the time, like in the house, morning, noon, slept with them and everything. Now, it was a very short phase. And I remember just, you know, I had three kids and I didn't care. My mother became consumed with, you cannot allow the child to wear the armbands. Like, this is, she can't go out like that. She cannot be going down the road. You can't put her in the car and all this. And I remember just saying to my mother, what's the harm? What's the harm? And I think that is great advice. Like, if what your child is doing is not harming them or anyone else or damaging the world, the property, the environment, just leave them off, like, you know, let them do it. So that's kind of
I think for me, if I was looking back, the time I have spent giving out to them about whose turn it is to do at washing up or clearing, like, you know, I wasted so much energy and I ended up doing it myself.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
you know.
See, I didn't even bother really allocating. I just did it all myself.
What
from
else?
The
what
get-go.
Else? What else would you say to your 20-something-year-old self?
Very important. And coming into this time, I hate to say it, but it's coming into the relevant time of the year. Crucial advice. And I got this from another parent. always have as many Smith's catalogues as you have children.
Yes.
Yeah. In the house. So in both our cases, three Smith's catalogues at all time. Do not be getting the Christmas Smith's catalogue for one child if you've more than one child.
Yeah.
Because there'll be fights and there'll be rows. And they will get as much educational reading out of the Smith. The piece of the Smith's catalogue when it arrives in the house is brilliant, isn't it? Like you can get a week's piece.
And come here, and do you know what? It's great bedtime reading as well, instead of Fireman Sam or whatever. Folks, there are so many applications listening to everything we say. We hope you're listening, by the way, on your way home. If you don't believe me, go home and ask Alexa, says Noel. What was I going to say?
I'm checking now to see if I have anything.
I got a thing from a bakery school. We were talking about
rubbish jewellery.
I got bakery traineeship.
Yeah.
Which might be connected to our discussion about the ovens. Basketball.
Do you know what I've just got? Sorry.
What?
A must-have chest sticker for every fashionista. Sweat-proof sticky bras that give all-day hold. So in other words, if you're going to play basketball, you better get yourself a sweat-proof bra. Look at the state of you, you ancient old crone. That they don't say that, it's just implied. I'm actually not getting the basketball thing.
No,
which I'm really
I think we're doing something
about.
Wrong. Maybe they know we're on air and we're trying to get it. That's how much they're actually listening to us. We were talking about playing etiquette, Fiona, just earlier on the show. And someone has texted in and said, I am an ex-captain crew member and I worked on a flight from the Far East and had made plans to come home to Ireland. I boarded the flight in Heathrow to Dublin. I had a window seat and was seated beside two nuns. As I worked the flight from the Far East, I fell asleep before leaving London. I woke up after landing in Dublin to realise I'd slept on one of the nuns' shoulders. When I composed myself, I noticed I drooled all over her shoulder. I haven't had the heart to tell her. God love her. She obviously did not want to disturb me as I was in a uniform. Said John. It's a man as well, drooling on a nun.
I once, and it wasn't a breach of etiquette, it was pure accident, breast milk leaked out of a breast milk container onto a man's suit, a man's good, expensive suit in the overhead cabin, a stranger, onto a complete stranger's suit.
And back we go to the sticky bra.
Indeed,
you see,
it all comes back to the sticky bra. I thought we could do athleticism and basketball. They just want to do sticky bras and leaking.
Anyway, it's always amazing to talk to you. Always, Fiona. Great, great buddy. Thanks so much. Thanks to Grace and all the team for talking to me. That's all we've time for today. I'll be back tomorrow. Great to see you, Fiona. Stay tuned for Drive Time with Cormac and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.